Welcome into another edition of What Barry's Talking About from Barry 360. I'm Dan Blakely. On this week's program, Orillia City Council silencing fireworks in the city, except for celebrations that have been sanctioned by the city. The Barry Colts season came to an end last weekend, but not before they pushed the Oshawa Generals to 6 games. Green Bowl Foods in Barry is redefining what it means to eat well. And Saturday is April Pools Day in Bradford. We'll find out what that's all about. We get the conversation started after this. Going to be lots of chatter about this and pressure on other municipalities to do the same. City Council in Orillia has snuffed out fireworks, except for special events approved by council. Barry 360's Ian McLennan gets the reasons why and insight into how this will be enforced from Orillia Councillor Ralph Cipolla.
How did this whole thing come about? How did it get on the radar in the first place?
Well, we had quite a few noise complaints throughout the city, and also one of the people complained that because these fireworks were allowed, her grandson got a firecracker, whatever you call them, and his hand, and it set off and it cut all his hand up and everything else. He ended up in the hospital and everything else. So we've had quite a few complaints. And one of the counselors did a survey, and out of 100 people, 99.9% of the people wanted it banned because of the noise, the effects of the smoke, and the chemicals that are involved in the fireworks are very hazardous to animals. And in particular, they would be set off late at night, say around 9:30, 10 o'clock, where babies would be asleep and children would be asleep, and they would wake up. And the noise bylaw was pretty adamant that people wanted it banned.
Have other municipalities gone as far as Orillia? Did you look into that?
Yes, we did. Bradford banned them a few years back, and I think some of the cities have done it. I'm not quite familiar. I think Barrie's also doing it or did it.
Yeah, I know there's been some discussion in Barrie. I know in the city of Barrie, they have specific dates where fireworks can be set off. But in Orillia itself, what does the new bylaw stipulate? If I'm a resident and I want to celebrate a birthday, can I light off fireworks, or what are the protocols?
Only in public places like parks and that, and you need a permit. And the only time legally that we can set off fireworks in public places in the park is at Canada Day. Everything else is banned under the new bylaw.
Yeah, it says Coogee Beach Park is through a special event permit. So, again, if I was a resident, I wanted to set off fireworks to celebrate something, do I have to go to the city, or am I impeded completely now?
No, you can go to the city and apply for a permit, and the cost, I think, is $200 for the permit or greater. But the fines are substantial if you set it off in areas where it's prohibited and when it's prohibited.
Yeah, I see 50,000, so the city means business here.
Correct. It's, if you set up fireworks, there will be an inspection fee of $200 to come in and inspect your property and owner. And it's anywhere from what the courts would decide, up to $50,000 fine.
And so right now, with the Canada Day Committee, that's the only time right now that fireworks, I guess, legally can be set off within the parameters of Orillia?
That's correct. And the decision to ban them in the city, with the exception of council-approved special events, and it comes in very careful consideration, public safety, environmental impacts, the feedback from residents, and as councillors, we have to listen to the public. They do not want fireworks in private places, in homes, in residential areas anymore.
I'm just wondering, Councillor Cipolla, with regards to bylaw and how this will be enforced, do you have numbers available, or do you have the body count that can respond to these calls, or do you need more bylaw? What's the status there?
I'm not speaking for staff, but I think we will probably need some extra help. The police will also help with the noise bylaws. In the previous, the police were the ones that would investigate the noise bylaw with the fireworks. But now I think it's up to the bylaw officers to field the complaints.
At the end of the day, is this basically about respecting your neighbor?
You're absolutely right. It's protecting human life and protecting the safety of people, your next door neighbor, your whole community. And when the, I think you probably know, when the fireworks went out, there's smoke, and then dogs would be barking all over the place and everything else. So I think it's out of respect for the neighborhood and for the residents. You're absolutely right.
And finally, Councillor, if normal protocol, if somebody has a concern, somebody is setting off fireworks, they go through the normal procedure. Would it, could, you know, if like any other bylaw complaint or concern?
They can contact City Hall at 705-325-3506. And somebody will deal with it.
The Barry Colts did not go quietly, pushing the Oshawa Generals to 6 games in their opening round playoff. Many thought the Colts would be swept to the postseason. Our Will Conkin takes a look back at the playoffs, the season, and what's next for the club with Colts writer and broadcaster Gene Pereira.
Gene, I think we saw a hungry but a young team. Maybe talk to us about that.
Yeah, you know, it was a year where they, I think it started out in a bit of disappointment. They expected bigger things coming into this season, but, you know, at the trade deadline, they realized it was best to look for the future. And, you know, it took a couple of weeks, but, you know, guys like Bo Jelsma really picked up this team. And, you know, it was the resilience of this young hockey club was just something fun to watch. And, It turned out that all of a sudden they started drawing fans. I think they were just a fun bunch to watch. And, you know, they got into the playoffs, found a way into the playoffs, and then in the first round matchup with Oshawa, the Generals were the heavy favorites. But, you know, they gave Oshawa everything they could handle. And, you know, they took it to 6 games in a series that maybe they could have won. You know, there's obviously some controversial calls that the Colts thought they got the short end of. But that's something to build on. So when you look at this young club, I think they can come out of this season, you know, feeling pretty good about what they accomplished, even though they lost in the first round. I think it, you know, it really answered a lot of questions. And Will, and you know, when you look at this lineup going into the future, you know, you look and you start net, and I think Sam Hillebrand, his outstanding play in the playoffs, really proved that he could be a number one. And that was one of the big questions the Colts had as they went down the stretch here, is do they have the goaltenders, to move forward? Would Sam Hillebrand be the guy? And he proved he can be that guy. And then, you know, you look at the blue line, and obviously the loss to Bo Leake, you really hurt them all season, but he's going to be back healthy, and that's going to be a big part. There's a guy that can log 25, 30 minutes a game, and you know, again, one of the top young defensemen in the CHL. So, you know, the Edmonton Oilers prospect. So he's going to be a big return. And then you look at elsewhere, Keyshawn Aitchison, who really took his game to another level. And I think there's just so much more. And, you know, all of a sudden he's on the Hockey Canada radar, and it's something to be excited about, his kind of brand of hockey where he plays with that physical edge and gets under opposing forward skins, and outstanding defenseman that I think is going to take another big step. And you know, I mean, rookie Jack Brody, who just was outstanding all year, and again another guy that can kind of play two ways. And Grayson Tiller, just after he came back from injury, was just outstanding and into the playoffs and was a real force. And you got that top four moving forward. All of a sudden, that's a pretty good core to build around. And then, of course, there's the core up front. Obviously, Bo Jelsma leads this team, the captain, in every way. And he's a heart and soul guy. And you can see in the seconds, in that Game 6 against Oshawa, he was trying to do everything he could to will his team back. And, you know, that's the type of leader he is. And you got that guy coming back next year, that's a big part. And obviously, Cole Baldwin, Riley Patterson, two NHL draft prospects who are going to be that much better next season. Again, Bodie Stewart, who really another draft prospect who I think in that second half in the playoffs, you know, it's that build up to consistency, but he can be a force, one of those guys that not afraid to drive to the net. And Well, so you look at this team, I mean, they got the pieces to move forward, the core to build around, and talking to Marty Williamson, he says they are going to add that something, you know, probably in the off season. I'd probably expect them to add probably another big defenseman. And again, they can do that through the CHL import draft, which is coming up in July. So the ability to add another really good forward or defenseman through that way. And, of course, there's the OHL draft, which is this Saturday. Barry is the fifth overall pick. And, Will, it's a draft that's loaded with offensive forwards.
Who are some prospects on the radar for the Colts, you think?
Well, I think when you look at it, Valentin, the Marlies prospect, is probably going to go first or second overall. I think there's a couple of kids there that, you know, there's Manny Malhotra's son, who is also a big part, a young prospect up there. But, you know, talking to scouts, this OHL draft is absolutely loaded with great offensive forwards. And I think that will probably be, Barry doesn't like to kind of tip their hat to what they're going to do. No team does, I want to tell you, ahead of the draft. But I think it's going to be hard to kind of pass on this collection of forwards. And as well, the intriguing part of this, of course, is that the Barry Colts AAA minor midgets, an outstanding year when the OMHA championship, made it to the semifinals of the OHL Cup. And, I mean, they are just absolutely loaded with talent. Alex McLean, Logan Howery, and Emma Dofsky there as well is another top three guys that I expect to go in the first round. So they're going to be front and center in this draft, and, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they're going to go. But the Barry Colts AAA system, I mean, what an outstanding year for them. And, you know, they're going to be sending a lot of talent the OHL way.
Well, overall, we really appreciate you lending us your insight this season, Gene. It's always a pleasure chatting, and good thing is there's always more hockey to come. Till next time there, buddy.
That's great. Thanks, Phil.
What Barry's Talking About is a weekly podcast featuring the best Barry and Simcoe County have to offer and more. You can get caught up and make it easy to keep up in the future by subscribing to What Barry's Talking About through any podcast distributor. Still to come on What Barry's Talking About, April Pools Day in Bradford and eating healthy with byproducts from food manufacturers. Now this.
Our community rocks.
It's a well-known fact, blood transfusion saves lives. It's also a well-known fact that the world relies on voluntary unpaid donations to fill the need for blood. The need for blood never ends. Canadian Blood Services in Barrie is calling on you to help save a life. Please consider donating today. Appointments are mandatory and must be booked in advance. Book today at blood.ca, through the Give Blood app, or by calling 1-888-2-DONATE.
Our Community Rocks is brought to you by 400 Chrysler and Barry Chrysler, winners of the 2022 Pay It Forward Award at the Barry Business Awards.
Our Community Rocks on Barry's Rock Station, Rock 95.
This is What Barry's Talking About from Barry 360. I'm Dan Blakely. 160 people drown in Ontario every year, and in most cases, those deaths were preventable. The town of Bradford hosting an April Pools Day event this weekend to pass on life-saving water skills to children and adults. Andrew Sorokin, who's been interning with us from Algonquin College, tracked down aquatic leader Courtney Andrade to find out more.
Well, the town decided to start this event 7 years ago, I think it said. Why did they decide to do that?
So part of my role as aquatic leader is, and I haven't been doing it for a really long time, probably about 3 years now, is water safety and educating the members of the community. So from my knowledge, part of the reason why they started it was to kind of join together with other organizations within the community. So the fire department, we have the paramedic services, along with the South Simcoe Police. And the main goal of the event is to educate the patrons friends in the community about boat safety and life jackets, and it's kind of our annual kickoff for drowning prevention into the summer.
And you guys are have a focus on life jackets this year. Why did you choose that?
I think life jackets are kind of an important one that people often forget about. It's a really big, it's a really important water safety message that we drill into the community members. So making sure that you find the right size life jackets. And a life jacket really only works if you use it. And another key important water safety message that kind of ties into that is when parents aren't supervising their children, a life jacket is kind of an extra safety measure that will help reduce the amount of drownings in our community.
If, when someone's attending this event, what do you think they should expect for this event?
So around 12:30, we're going to have the various organizations, the fire department, the police. We're going to have potentially a fire truck and an ambulance where families and the members of the community can kind of do some tours of those. And then we're going to have a aquatics booth. So we'll be selling, we'll just have some kind of activities. There'll be a little spot where kids can try to do compressions on mannequins, so learning to do CPR. We're also going to have Buddy, the lifeguard from the Life Saving Society. He's going to come in. We'll have one of the staff members wear the uniform and then kind of go around, and if anyone wants to take pictures with them. And then around 1:30, we have a free leisure swim. So we have a couple water safety activities in the pool. So there is one around 1:30, and then we have a relay with the participating organizations. And usually the relay is usually a big hit. We also have the mayor and council coming in for the event. And the relay, very straightforward. It's just about 100 meters. There'll be four people per team, and then it's kind of a good opportunity for the organizations to kind of compete against each other, and then the patrons attending the public swim can also kind of watch and engage in the relay. And then there'll be a couple other water safety stations after that about boat safety and then also life jackets.
And how has attendance been over the past couple of years, and what are you guys anticipating for this year?
We are hoping that we do get like a decent amount for this year. We have advertised it, I think, a little bit more than in the past. And we've also, last year, we actually raised about $2,500 for water safety that goes towards drowning prevention. So our goal to also raise money has kind of increased, and I think we've kind of put ourselves out there in the community over the last couple of years in just kind of promoting water safety and just getting our name out there.
And the fundraiser you guys are hosting this year, will that be the same kind of thing that you guys were doing last year as well?
This is actually the first year that we're kind of offering it since COVID. It is the first time we've offered it in a while, so we've kind of outlined it the same as it has been in the past, obviously with some modifications and obviously kind of more advertising just to get it out to the community. I also believe there is a hockey tournament running that weekend, so that will also help generate more participants in the community to attend the event.
And the town holds a couple awards, the Smart Water Award and the Darnell Challenge Cup. Can you tell me something about those awards and what it means to have those awards right now?
Yeah, so the Darnell Cup essentially is an award that goes out to communities, smaller communities with only one pool, who essentially promote and attend events throughout the summer or even throughout the year. And the Water Smart Award is something that the town of Bradford has won multiple times over the last probably 7 years, I would say. And it just kind of goes to show that everything that our staff have done really is kind of being seen and recognized, and that our messages are getting out there to the community.
No additives, no preservatives, lots of protein, lots of fiber. Green Bowl Foods in Barrie is serving up nutritious meals in part from upcycled ingredients from food manufacturers. Barrie 360's Will Konkin gets the details from Green Bowl founder Max Jamshidian.
I realized that, wow, we have a lot of food waste in Canada. More than 60% of food is wasted. And then I started to learn about the food waste at 60%, the impact of food waste on the environment, landfills, because they go to the landfill and they generate gas emission, global warming. I said, oh my God, we have a lot of food waste. And the solution, normally the solution for food waste is just to reuse them or to upcycle. Upcycling means when you save a food from landfilling and use it for human or animal, and we call them upcycle. Then I said, okay, how we can upcycle these food byproducts? Because there are kind of different methods. You can reduce the food waste at source by some technologies, or you can reuse them or upcycling in the other foods. And then I just realized that we have some facilities that they dehydrate food byproducts, for example, carrots or spinach pulp, and they provide some powders. Or some factories, they use, like, for example, unused oranges or vegetables or fruits, and they make a juice from them. But finally, they have pulp, and the pulp goes to the landfill. Imagine, you have we are poor, and we are putting our money into the garbage, and we are paying somebody to dump this garbage. And lastly, there are many people looking for healthy foods, but they are expensive. They are not convenient. They are frozen. They are supplements. And I took around in all of the stores in Canada and didn't find a shelf-stable. Shelf-stable means you don't need to refrigerate your food or freeze them. So I said, okay, now we have four problems. A shelf-stable, a convenient, healthy food, which is absent. We have food waste, we have landfilling, and also the food factories that they have to pay someone to collect this food waste or food byproducts and landfill it. So I said, now how we can solve the problem by another problem, you know? So I said, okay, now we should develop some ready-to-eat meals that they are healthy, they are high in fiber and high in protein, and also at the same time resolve all of these problems that I mentioned. That's why Green Bowl Foods was born. We worked, me and my partner and I worked roughly 1 year to develop these products. We developed more than 12 kind of products, and we selected just four to start the production. So these four products that we decided, according to the panelists, so we decided to have two kind of mix of rice and beans and rice and chickpeas, one quinoa and one lentil. So, and this specialty for these products that they are very high in fiber. For example, the fiber pots are lentil with carrots and barley. It provides 80% of your daily fiber. 80% is huge, and it's in the whole world. You can never find a similar product that provides this amount of protein, fiber, iron, and potassium in just one single serving.
So if I'm interested in buying one of these products and I'm living in Barrie, what's the kind of process do I go through? I go in there, I can see the products, maybe tell me how much they are, kind of what's the details of that if I'm interested in buying them at the Barrie location.
Sure. We are at 112 Commerce Park Drive, so we will be happy to see the customers. No, yeah, we don't have a store at the facility, but if they are interested, they can come and buy them. But the easiest way is purchase online. All of them, they are $6.99 with a good promotion, for example, good discount for bulk order, free shipping for more than $100. And in the stores in Barrie, we are in Nature Best, and soon North Barrie Market, because they were interested in our last food and drink fest. And as I mentioned, soon going to be in Farm Boy and Healthy Planet. So, but the best way is online.
How big are the bags? How many grams are they? Or like kind of the size of them?
Yeah, they are 250 gram each bag, and a side dish going to be for two servings, and one as main dish, one serving.
There are a lot of companies out there that make ready-to-eat meals. You've already kind of mentioned what makes yours different, but why should people go to Green Bowl? Why should they?
Yeah, as I mentioned, because of their positive impact on landfill and also for themselves, and the high amount of protein and fiber. And we are local, you know, so we try to help food factories, local factories, and also people to have, and we are so happy if more upcycle factories, facilities come to play, you know, because we need them. 60% of food is so sad, you know. And why Green Bowl? Because we believe in sustainability. All of our products are upcycled, and we provide something delicious. It's not just a meal. It's not just a side dish. It's beyond the food, as I mentioned, because of the fiber and different source of fiber. And the fact that we save foods, the foods that they use water, sun, labor, electricity, energy, and we are wasting them. So that's a good feeling that I have, and every consumer that eat the product, it means that you're helping the environment and you're reducing your footprint and also the gas emission.
And then where can people find more information, just general information about Green Bowl?
On our website, greenbowlfoods.ca.
And that's our program for this week. Thanks to Ian, Will, and Andrew for their input, to Matt Ladder for his technical tweaking, and to you for listening. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to What Barry's Talking About, rate it, review it. You can also keep up with What Barry's Talking About on X at Barry360, on our website, barry360.com, and there's our daily Kickstart podcast available from any streaming service and on our website. I'm Dan Blakely. Hope you'll join us again next week.